Everyone has their own unique views and needs when it comes to financial success. If you'd like to leave your financial woes behind and live a life of financial freedom, you've come to the right place. Welcome to the Saving with Steve Show, hosted by Steve Sexton. The show will help you with the ins and outs of money. We talk about financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars and keeping you up at night. We talk about money, tax reduction, saving more, spending less, 401ks, risk management, retirement, and everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. Now, here is your host of Saving with Steve, Steve Sexton.
Welcome you to the show. My name is Steve Sexton, and this is the Saving with Steve Show, where we're talking about the in and outs of money. This is all about making sure you have a healthier, happier relationship with money. I truly want to thank you for tuning in. I appreciate letting your friends, family, and associates know about our show. All replays are available on savingwithsteve.us. If you enjoyed the stories of helpful information and insight on Saving with Steve, then I encourage you to subscribe to our YouTube channel so you'll never miss a show. And check out a few of our affiliates like UK Health Radio, BBS Radio, 24/7 Radio, Talk Radio New York City, E360 TV, and Las Vegas TV Network. All these networks are dedicated to empowering you to solve problems, uplift your spirits, and live a life of financial and personal freedom. Also, you can follow us on Facebook and join the Saving with Steve Sexton Incliners Club. For more information, you want to go to savingwithsteve.us to get replays, exclusive access to our shows, videos, and guest gifts. Now, the next segment, oh, you're going to love this. We're going to be talking with Wayne Dunlop about this COVID, how to procure travel within the COVID environment. If you remember, we have a vaccine, you know, here. We've got millions of people have already been vaccinated, millions more will. We should be in a position for everybody who wants a vaccine will actually have it, which gives you the opportunity to start traveling. Now, here's the cool thing. If you have issues with wanting to go on that tour and it's $10,000, $12,000 and it was the one of your dreams, you can do it now for 40, 50, 60% off. Travel companies have great refund policies and they are looking to get people booked in on these trips and tours, even if they're not full, because they want to get people traveling and get their experiences. This would be the right time. Wayne's also going to be talking with us about staycations. These are pretty cool too. So Wayne, welcome to the show.
Hey, Steve. Good to see you again.
Good to see you as well. Glad you're healthy. Glad Pat's healthy. I love this idea of following a disaster. And the reason why I love it is because I've utilized it. Could you tell us about the follow the disaster strategy?
Yeah. You know, thank you for introducing that. As you mentioned before, after we retired, my wife and I traveled the world for a year. Then it turned into 4 years. And there was no way that we could afford travel the same way we were traveling on our two-week vacation. So we had to come up with new ideas. And as a former economics professor, I just applied economics to travel. The most powerful tip that we can provide is called follow the disaster. And it was written up in the Wall Street Journal, or so it's that powerful. And let me give an example. After crises around the world, for some time, people are reluctant to travel there. A perfect example is our trip to Thailand. The tsunami that wiped out Phuket, about half the travelers from North America and Europe canceled the trip to all of Thailand. So we started at Bangkok, 500 miles away from Phuket, and worked our way north to Chiang Mai and Chiang Rai. Had a lovely trip, no incidents of the thing, and we got the trip for about half the cost. And we went to Fiji after the bombing and Bali after their issues. Here's the thing. The COVID crisis is offering amazing follow disaster deals. And the travel industry may have been hit the hardest of any industry in the world. Mm-hmm. As you might expect. And these people feed their family, they pay their mortgages, do all the things that we do, their business and hospitality, and they're hurting. And so what they're doing now is offering some very, very good deals. And we're excited because we're getting a little disappointed there because we're travelers and we're not traveling. But now we got some things to look forward. We've booked a couple of them. But here's something that's so unique about the COVID crisis, the fall of the disaster we've never seen before. They also are offering amazing refund policies. I mean, they realize that people are going to be really hesitant at the book. And so what they do is up to a certain date, you can refund and get all your money back, any deposit you put down. And that is for no reason. You don't have to have a doctor's excuse. You don't have to break your leg. You can just cancel just if you change your mind. And we've got two trips going on. And we are getting a little worried with the resurgence of the concerns about COVID. And so we're looking at that cancellation date, and we're just going to cancel it. So it gives us all this confidence to put some trips in our hopper so we can start looking forward to. You know, one thing I always tell people when you get these fall disaster kind of opportunities, like the one we've seen with COVID, there are trips that Pat and I want to take, and there's no way we could afford them. Mm-hmm. You know, very beautiful trips, but they're very expensive. But if you can get a half price deal on a luxurious trip, you might want to consider taking a trip of a lifetime. And so we booked a trip in November for my birthday on Oceania Cruises. Uh-huh. Oceania is probably one of the most luxurious and most expensive cruise lines in the world. But we got a deal that probably is less than half price. And so now we're going to take an upscale luxurious cruise booked out in November.
I understand that because basically, if you have a socially distanced business, it's Amazon, okay? They don't talk to each other. People order, it's out. But if you're in a business that requires social interaction, like going out to a restaurant, retail, travel, concerts, I mean, you know, you have the company Live Nation. They live off concerts, but they haven't been able to have one since February. Basically, the same thing's happening here with travel. There's one cruise line that's actually giving people free travel to test out their COVID precautions. And you're like, wow, I can get free travel for that? How long do you think these bargains will be out there before things start changing?
Excellent question, Steve. Thank you. That's very astute. A lot of things in life, what we call a sweet spot, okay? When the concerns and the issues go down for COVID, you know there's going to be a huge pent-up demand of people traveling.
Oh, yeah.
Discounts are going to disappear because now they don't have to discount, right? So you want to get on board, but you also want to have a time of a viable trip. We booked this one in April. And we thought that was pretty safe. So what I'm looking at right now is summertime 2021 to be that sweet spot. That is a time, I think, with the increased availability of vaccines, that we're starting up possibly this month, and by 6 months from now will be widely available. Also, we'll be out of the standard flu season that these kind of viruses become more viral and stronger. So in summertime, I think that's going to be a really good time. So we can look for deals that we could book now for summer of 2021, get the deal, and still have a viable trip that you're probably going to be able to take. And so that's a good thing. Also, I wanted to talk about a way we find deals.
Oh, yeah. Let's do that.
Now, we have resources because we're travel writers. We've been in the industry. We have a lot of resources. But there's one that we've used a lot. And it's very effective. And it's called TravelZoo.com.
Okay, so that's TravelZoo.com. Okay.
TravelZoo.com. And as a travel writer, I got to take a trip with two of the professionals from TravelZoo. And these are very dedicated professionals to their craft. And they vet all the companies they recommend. They go on those trips and they work with these companies. They know they're decent companies are not going to go bankrupt. What they do is, but every provider, even without COVID, they know there's certain times a year they can't sell their product or there's crisis come up. And so they offer discounted availability to discounters like TravelZoo. And TravelZoo has tremendous deals. You don't have to take them. Just sign up and start looking at them. They have international deals. Last year, we went to Italy on a TravelZoo. We've done domestic deals. We went up, saw Mount Rushmore and some other things. So when this podcast is over, just go in and sign up for TravelZoo.com and you're going to start seeing some really good opportunities pop up. And of course, there's many places else that you'll see good opportunities.
Okay. So when should people be planning their travel to take advantage of these travel bargains? Do you think this is going to be viable all the way through 2022? Would it make sense if people are looking for the opportunity to travel? How long do you feel it'll take for people to be comfortable enough to get to a point where they're traveling like they were in 2019?
Here's the thing. COVID is a unique situation. I mean, I don't think the world has experienced anything like this. And there's a lot of concern and fear going on because of COVID. People don't want to get sick, et cetera. It's hard to tell. We're booking deals in 2021. I haven't seen a lot. I've seen a couple now in 2022. That seems pretty far out. Now, if you can get a deal, a really good deal for something summer of 2021 and beyond, and maybe in 2022, why not? Get this generous refund policy. And I think it's a great opportunity for travelers to put some things into their booked bucket list and look forward to travel.
I was just thinking while you're talking, I go, it's almost like Cyber Monday, like 40, 50, 60% off. Why wouldn't you? I mean, ever since COVID started, I know people who have actually redone their wardrobe because they're only paying 30 cents on the dollar. I have a friend of mine who buys, you know, $200 and $300 shirts and goes, Steve, I've been paying $60 for these things. And I was like, hey, if you can do that with travel, that's even better. Cause quite frankly, depending on how far they go, I would probably end up booking for the next year and a half or two if I could.
And you can save money on travel more, or just save money, or you can splurge. And so that's what we're doing. And I wanted to say before we sign off of this whole idea of fall disaster. A lot of people look at it and say, well, aren't you taking advantage of people? These poor people, they're not getting paid as much as they used to. And what I have to say to that is that we've done a lot of fall disasters. The way we were able to afford our around the world travel for 4 years, among a lot of other tips that we have. But when you get out there in one of these situations, like we went to Bali after that bombing, and then we went to Fiji after the coup, and we went to China after SARS and the Thailand trip I told you about, people were so appreciative. That's the best way I can say it. They feed their family by travel. That's what their business is. Mm-hmm. When nobody travels, they're hurting bad. So here they have a hotel that's getting no money, and now they're getting some money for that hotel room. They're excited. They're so appreciative. They bend over backwards for you. So follow the disaster is so wonderful because it's a win-win situation. Us travelers get a chance to get a benefit of great, great travel bargains, and people start getting some revenue that support their families. It's really good. That's what we think, that follow disaster is just one of the best travel ideas, because people wait too long after a crisis. Sure, they want to follow the disaster. Like
Wayne, I'm going to hold you right there. We're going to need to take a break. Got to pay some bills. Stick with us. We've got more of Wayne Dunlop.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve show.
Did you know the average American has 97 points they could add to their credit score, but no idea how to get them? The data scientists at Scoremaster cracked the code on how. Adding 97 points to your credit score is like found money. It means fast loan approvals, huge discounts, and low interest rates on everything from buying or refinancing a home to leasing a new car to applying for a credit card. How fast is Scoremaster? One member raised his credit score 33 points in just 5 days. Another 43 points in a couple of weeks. Scoremaster is so easy, it takes about a minute to get started. If you hurry, you can get to try Scoremaster for free. That's right, Scoremaster for free, and see how many plus points you can add to your credit score. Go to scoremaster.com/savings. That's scoremaster.com/savings. Again, that's scoremaster.com/savings.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hello, welcome back to the Saving with Steve show. I want to thank you for joining us. Hey, Wayne, you were talking about tip you provided about going to source these high-end trips and cruises, because you just talked about one that you booked that's going to be going on off in September, October, November of next year. It's a very expensive cruise. You're almost getting it for 60% off. So if you're looking to go on a special cruise or tour, I'd recommend you go to their Facebook page or the company's travel page. Start looking around, because there's algorithms there that'll keep sending you it and keep sending you that discount, just like Wayne said. Now, the next segment we're going to talk about with Wayne, it's called staycations. How you can go to a town close by, not too far away, and go and explore that town. Have great experiences. So again, welcome back to the show, Wayne. Thank you so much for joining us. Let's start talking about some staycations.
You know what happens in the last segment? We talked about booking some travel for the future and getting some things into your travel folder and things to be in anticipation and finding some great bargains and with generous discounts. But I talked about maybe we should do it next summer, right? Well, what about, I mean, we've been not traveling for months, and now I'm talking about not traveling for 6 more months. Those travelers with itchy feet, I'm going to offer a different idea. People come to your town and your geographical area from all around the world. They spend a lot of money to fly there, and they're tourists. And what we suggest is maybe you can have a local trip, a local vacation, and be a tourist in your own area. And we just came back from a really nice trip just like that.
Where'd you go?
Well, as you know, we live in San Diego in Southern California, and we have a wine country called Temecula that's right down the street. It's about an hour and a half drive away. And back from LA, maybe 2 or 3 hours. And Temecula has developed beautifully. And we found a really atmospheric little inn. And we had a private romantic dinner made in our room for us. I mean, how safe is that? I got a lot of points from Pat for that.
That's like bonus land.
Yeah. And the thing about that is that we got away from home. We had a travel experience. Temecula has lots of things going. They have atmospheric wineries you can do wine tasting in. There's balloon rides. There's gourmet restaurants. You can sit outside overlooking the vineyards. And I bet everybody, wherever you're from, whether it's Chicago, New York, or wherever you're from, there's areas in your geographical area you've been thinking about. You may have taken a day trip or heard about it, but go and spend a two-day trip out there is a lot different than you can explore and be a tourist in your own area.
I actually live in Temecula, so I know what you're talking about.
That's right. I forgot about that. Yeah.
We've experienced the wineries, and I actually know about the inn you're talking about. It's a wonderful place. The nice thing about right now is you can get some really great deals if you're doing just that. We had some friends of ours just go up to Big Bear.
Yeah.
And they went to the zoo. They went hiking. It was one of those things where they were able to get away from LA. And they rented a pontoon boat and just hung out on the lake for the day. It was great.
And the nice thing about local travel, you get a travel experience, and you get a travel experience that other people are paying thousands of dollars to come do it. And you have minimal packing, no plane ride, and there's no security lines or COVID concerns at airports, etc. So for a fraction of the cost, you can enjoy a travel tourist experience right in your own area.
What other ideas can you offer local travelers?
There's a couple of ideas. One thing is that's very popular for people that do this is called stay vacations. Mm-hmm. And my wife and I have done these a few times. And what you do is you not necessarily travel outside your town or your city or whatever. You find something cool, atmospheric within your town. For example, here in San Diego, we have a little area called Little Italy. And it's right next to the Embarcadero with seafood, Italian food, and then it's right next to downtown with bars and other things. You could go down, rent a little hotel room for a couple nights, explore the area, and I'll tell you, you'll find out a lot more things to do and a lot more things about your own town and have a lot of fun than if you just went down there for a day trip or you just went down there for lunch or something like that. So you can either stay at home, which some people do, but there's always that project comes up. There's always that. So we like to get a little hotel room and think about the cost savings. Instead of having a massive packing concern and flying and all that other planning, we're there, minimum packing, no flights, minimum cost, and we're having a unique travel experience within a couple of hours.
So how do you research for places to stay?
Yeah, good question. Excellent question. One thing that's so lovely is that we have a thing called the internet. And the internet has just so much information. It's just voluminous and it's wonderful for travelers. So here's what I did. Simply, I just went to Google or whatever your favorite search engine and type in day trip San Diego or day trip Chicago, day trip New York, whatever. And you'll see a host of ideas that are coming and just sit there and read and talk with your travel partner, spouse, whatever, and just come up with some ideas. And then go from there.
I think it's real interesting that you're saying that because I was just talking to my folks who live up in the Northern Orange County area. And they like, oh, you know what? We were getting cabin fever here in our house. And they took a drive just down to Newport Beach at the coast there. You know what? It's changed a lot. We walked around, checked out the boats. It was a great little day hanging out type thing. And they said, you know, it was great for curing our cabin fever.
It is. And, you know, people ask me, how do you find places where to stay on a stay vacation or a local vacation, a trip or whatever? And we used a couple of resources very effectively. One is called Airbnb. Mm-hmm. And Airbnb is, most people I ask about it, I get almost a near 100% people like it. That people rent out their little room on the side or they have a second house that they have, et cetera. And then you can read all about it. But the fun thing about it is it's all peer reviewed. So the higher peer rating, the more bookings they get. So they go out of their way. They have a little book there. It shows the local restaurants they like. That shows the things to do. They give you their phone number if you have any questions. You don't get that from a hotel. The second thing is like we like Travelzoo, like we mentioned before, and you can put in a local. So we typed in San Diego in Travelzoo, and it also gives us local deals as well as domestic and international.
One of the things I wanted to ask you, if you're going to look to travel, air travel right now, what airline are you looking at? When's the best time to book air travel, especially during this time?
Very interesting question. We're looking at different airlines. What happens is that all of a sudden we'll be looking at something about ready to book it. And then what's in the past, they canceled the trips, things like that. So all the airlines are up and down, and that's why I'm suggesting for longer-term travel, maybe next summer, then the airlines are having lots of availability. Now, I just saw Southwest just came up with tremendous bargain. My wife just showed us, and she said, we got to go. I mean, it's like $80 round trip to someplace. And so it's going to be up and down, and everybody has their own favorite airlines right now. It's hard to say which one is best, and it's also going to be what the rules. The one thing about the airlines too, they're claiming that they've got enhanced filtration systems inside there. I guess the UV rays and stuff like that. So the viruses are not going to be recirculated as much as maybe people may think. The airline industry is claiming the air traffic is rather safe. There's very little evidence of people coming off of airplanes and getting sick. Mm-hmm. That I don't know. This is what I'm hearing. And so you hear this good and bad, and we're getting optimistic about the future.
Well, good. I'm looking forward to it. Hey, Wayne, as always, thank you so much for sharing these wonderful strategies for people, how they can save money by just getting out and do a staycation. I think it's wonderful that people can save thousands of dollars fulfilling the travel dreams they have. So I want to thank you for joining us today. It's been wonderful.
One thing is that we have a travel blog called unhooknow.com. And what I want to do is that we make no money doing this. It's a retirement give back. I did a couple of computer startups. So we're doing this as a give back to the world, as to help people travel the world. It's called unhooknow.com. There's 250 places that we've blogged about with history and pictures. So you can travel virtually right on our travel blog. And the tips that we talked about today are augmented by a bunch more tips about how to save money and enjoy travel more. So that travel blog is called unhooknow.com. And everything on there, we get no endorsements. We get no money to endorse any of those things. Those tips are the same tips that we use to find bargains and deals that you can use. So it's a very, very good website resource.
Now, Wayne, I want to thank you for joining us today. If you would like to hear more from Wayne Dunlop, you can always go get his book on Amazon. It's a big time seller. Again, that's Plan Your Escape, the guide to traveling the world for less than what it costs to stay at home. Or if you like great travel information, deals, you want to go to his blog, unhooknow.com. That's unhooknow.com. Again, Wayne, I want to thank you for joining us. We really appreciate being on the show. With that, stick with us. We're going to be right back for some Steve Severade and Adjusters International for the Greenspan Company. All right, see you soon.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve Show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve Show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve Show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve Show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us, savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve Show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hey, welcome back to the show. Wasn't Wayne Dunlop wonderful? Right after my next segment, we're going to be talking to Steve Severade of Greenspan's Adjusters International, public adjuster to help people if they're dealing with wildfires, disasters, the whole shop, get the most out of their insurance coverage. Now, today we're going to be talking about financial literacy for kids. At some point in their adult lives, often when adults first start out, many parents have had to learn the harsh consequences of poor money management. Hey, me included. It could have been when, you know, you fell behind on rent or you got over your head with credit cards. If you want your kids to avoid these pitfalls, then you need to start teaching financial literacy sooner than later. Reason why sooner is research suggests that many of our financial habits are set by the age of 7. If good habits aren't formed early, it becomes harder and harder to point your kids in the right direction. Now, how do parents teach the value of a dollar and other key lessons? Well, I've come up with a few things that you can go over to take immediately to put them on the right path. So, first of all, we want to make sure they earn their allowance. Regardless of their age, one of the most important lessons you can instill in a child is that money is not a finite resource. Money is a finite resource. There's only so much of it. When they have to work for their money, as you likely do, they'll learn to use it more carefully. Lots of parents are in the habit of supplying their kids with weekly allowances, which in itself can be a great budget skill. Even better would be making them earn the money by doing chores. Drawing the mental connection between income and personal effort is something that will pay huge dividends when they grow up and obviously move out on their own. You don't need a bundle of cash in your wallet to compensate for odd jobs and for the house. You can make it a game by getting an app such as BusyKid to let you assign dollar amounts to each tax, which adds to their allowance when they complete it. Obviously, you can encourage part-time gigs. You know, reality is high school is a busy time for adolescents with homework, extracurricular activities, sports, eating up a substantial portion of their week. Still, if they can just spare a few hours to work at a coffee shop or a retailer, they're probably better off for it. For one thing, they'll be less inclined to blow their cash on frivolous things when they have to put it in some serious work to get it. You don't need to wait until they're old to form formal employment. You may find that your middle schooler or early high schooler can earn extra bucks by mowing lawns or walking the neighbor's dog. You can go to a website just as Nextdoor, and even newsletters from homeowners associations can be an outstanding way to connect with local residents that need a little bit of help. At the point that they start earning a paycheck, you can also help them understand the value of saving and introduce them to the concept of the time value of money. And you could do this through apps like Greenlight. One of the way parents are doing this is they're saying, hey, look, I'll match what you put in there. So if they put in $10, you're matching $10. Some people are even setting up Roth IRAs. It'd be wonderful so they can see the compounding of money and what it could mean to them down the road. Have them contribute to purchases. Nearly every parent knows what it's like to go into a store and have a kid go, I want this, mine, mommy, mommy, mommy. Whether it be a toy, video game, or some piece of clothing. And you shouldn't be surprised with this. Younger kids in particular don't yet understand that only so much money, mom and dad only have so much money each month. And they only have so much money for discretionary things. One way to get the point across is to make them contribute towards these non-essential items. It's not their birthday or Christmas. Tell them they have to pay half of the cost for a new toy, piece of clothing, or some accessory. Your kids will be better off, have a better sense of what things actually cost. What becomes important to them. They'll also learn that they have to save their allowance to make bigger purchases, and they have to prioritize just like you do. Hey, who said learning about finance had to be boring? Even board games can help learn the importance of thriftiness, like, you know, Monopoly. But there's wonderful apps like, you know what, O'Henry. There's wonderful apps like Greenlight, Kids Biz. All those to help your kids have some more fun while you're paying attention to it. Now, this segment was brought to you by ScoreMaster. Did you know the average American has 97 points they can add to their credit score? But quite frankly, I have no idea how to get them. The data scientists at ScoreMaster have cracked the code on how. Adding 97 points to your credit score is like found money. You know, it means fast loan approvals, huge discounts, low interest rates on everything from buying or refinancing a home to leasing a new car to applying for a credit card. How fast does ScoreMaster? One member raised their credit score 33 points in just 5 days, another 43 points in a couple of weeks. ScoreMaster is so easy, it takes about a minute to get started. And if you hurry, you can get to try ScoreMaster for free. That's right, ScoreMaster for free. See how many plus points you can add to your credit score. So go to scoremaster.com/savings. That's scoremaster.com/savings. Again, that's scoremaster.com/savings. Hey, look, stick with us. We're going to be right back for some Steve Severade and Adjusters International for the Greenspan Company. All right. See you soon.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve Show.
Did you know the average American has 97 points they could add to their credit score, but no idea how to get them? The data scientists at ScoreMaster cracked the code on how. Adding 97 points to your credit score is like found money. It means fast loan approvals, huge discounts, and low interest rates on everything from buying or refinancing a home to leasing a new car to applying for a credit card. how fast is ScoreMaster? One member raised his credit score 33 points in just 5 days, another 43 points in a couple of weeks. ScoreMaster is so easy, it takes about a minute to get started. If you hurry, you can get to try ScoreMaster for free. That's right, ScoreMaster for free, and see how many plus points you can add to your credit score. Go to scoremaster.com/savings. That's scoremaster.com/savings. Again, that's scoremaster.com/savings.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve Show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hello, welcome back to the Saving with Steve Show. I want to thank you for joining us. You know what? We had a wonderful conversation with Wayne Dunlop talking about how you can travel the world for less than what it costs living at home. We talked about, you know, financial literacy for kids. And you know what? We're going to talk about something that's going to be going on here. We're just hit wildfire season. You know what? Extreme wildfires on the West Coast of the United States have become a common theme. And you know what? People have, you know, disasters from tsunamis to hurricanes, and they happen throughout the United States, and there's fires that happen in Texas and so on. Now, the reality is many homeowners are at risk. And you know what? The reality is when it happens to them, how do they go about rebuilding their lives? And you know what? They worry about things like, you know what? Will the insurance provide enough funds to take care of all the repairs? Okay. Now we have Steve Severott here. He's been a licensed senior professional public adjuster for more than 30 years. He works to advocate for individuals, communities, businesses that have suffered major losses. His work has earned him a reputation as a respected industry expert in handling a broad range of residential, commercial property. You know, I'm going to say losses. I mean, you know, damage ranging from fires, floods, earthquake, vandalism, tsunamis, and catastrophic events. His team, he has a team that's including structural engineering experts, inventory specialists, forensic accountants, insurance attorneys, former insurance claims representatives, secure the most favorable outcome from every insurance property claim. Now, here's one of the big things. He's represented victims of major losses throughout the United States and worldwide in places like Thailand, the Caribbean, Puerto Rico, Florida, Texas, Alaska, Hawaii. You know what, Steve? Welcome to the show. I'm glad you're here.
Well, thanks for having me, Steve. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, you know what? I think people would like to start out with, you know, besides knowing that you have a great tenure, wonderful background and experience, it's what is a public adjuster? Because you're a public adjuster for Greenspan Company, International Adjusters. I got that right?
Adjusters International.
You're Adjusters close. International. Ah, I got started on the wrong thing here. Sorry about that. But what's a public adjuster? And how can they help, you know, people, you know, homeowners save money if they have a claim?
Yeah, a lot of people have never heard of a public adjuster, but a public adjuster is somebody that's licensed by various state Department of Insurance to represent the policyholder, never the insurance company. So just as you have an insurance company that brings out an adjuster, either an employee of the insurance company, or they hire what's called an independent adjuster, which doesn't make them independent at all, actually, because they report to the insurance company and work for the insurance company. People have the opportunity to balance the scales with the insurance company and all their experts by bringing in their own expert, a public adjuster, who advocates for their interests exclusively in preparing, presenting, and ultimately negotiating the claim to get the best benefit from the insurance policy they purchased.
Now, okay, so let's just talk about some of the pitfalls that people have nowadays, especially when they're looking at, let's just go through the, I'll tell you what, I know somebody that we talked to earlier in the week, talked about early in the week, that had been with their carrier for 35 years to lo and behold, find out for three reasons, the claim that they had was just not covered. And you know what? She thought that, hey, I have this coverage. It's good. There's no issues. I just didn't think about it and kept paying it. So why should people who have had a policy for 20, 30 years be concerned about the type of policy that they have, or more importantly, what's in that policy?
Yeah, it's a good question, Steve. You know, there's certain events, and I think we talked about it, that situation was a little bit unique and the damage. But one of the problems people have is they buy their insurance policy 20 or 30 years ago, and they don't do regular checkups. The insurance policy has an item in it that raises the limit just a little bit each year. But that often doesn't keep up with inflation, especially in today's market with all the inflated costs of construction materials and the lack of labor. But even before that happened, these policies that people have for 10, 15, 20, 30 years oftentimes aren't representative of what true rebuilding costs would be should they ever have a fire or suffer some kind of tragic loss. And so it's really important that you do a more current evaluation. Don't just rely on the fact that you've had this policy all this time, because you might not be covered nearly as well as you think you are.
So let me make that real simple for people who are listening. So let's say you have a house that's 30 years old, you're in a wildfire, and the house burns down and it needs to be replaced. Okay. They have to replace that house using the current building codes, as opposed to using a 2x4, they have to use a 4x4. As opposed to using 6-gauge wire, they have to use 8-gauge wire. They can no longer, they can't use galvanized pipe, they have to use copper pipe. Now, when we're talking about lumber, lumber's 300 times more expensive than it was last year?
Yeah, it's about 300% higher.
Yeah. So when you look at that and you say, hey, you know what, it's going to cost $200,000 to replace my house. But if they're framing that house, it might cost $100,000 just for the lumber for that house. Meaning if you only have $200,000 of coverage, you might have to write a check for an extra couple $100,000 to make sure your house gets built. Is that correct?
Yeah, you've actually touched on a couple of things there, Steve. First of all, is making sure that you have the proper amount of insurance for the rebuild cost. You're right. And those rebuild costs have escalated. And there's often a provision in the policy that gives some extended coverage beyond the policy limit, but it's only a certain percentage. So you can't really rely on that as your buffer or your cushion. The other thing you brought up was changing the building materials because of the latest building ordinance or law. And that's really a separate part of the policy. The standard policy doesn't give you any coverage for that. So oftentimes there'll be some coverage, but sometimes it's limited to 10% of the policy or some other limitation. So if you're in an older home, especially, and you're in a wildfire zone, you really want to look and see what that could look like for you. And you might want to increase your coverage and make sure you have enough coverage for those changes in the building codes, because otherwise you could be on the hook for those differences in between what you had and what you're now forced to build with.
Now, you know what, you've dealt with earthquakes, and you know what, the state of California has the California Earthquake Association. And even, you know what, a lot of people will purchase that policy thinking that they have it completely covered. And you know what, is that necessarily true?
No, well, it's gotten better, though, Steve. I'll tell you, right after the LA earthquake, the Northridge earthquake, earthquake coverage became almost impossible to get. They came up with this California Earthquake Authority. The coverages were really bad. The deductibles were really high. That market has loosened because we haven't had a major earthquake event. So it is more affordable and the coverages are getting better. But those coverages certainly are not as complete and don't cover you nearly as well as your typical fire policy covers you. So you've got to realize when you're buying earthquake insurance that you're still going to have some skin in the game should something bad happen to your property.
So it's just one of those things where the earthquake coverage doesn't cover everything you think it. And the reason why I'm saying that is, you know what, people should understand what's in the policy. Okay, not from a technical level, but more like what exactly does it cover? Like, for example, your pipe bursts, they're not going to fix the pipe, they're going to fix the things around the pipe. Is that correct?
Well, the good news there, Steve, is that the pipe is the cheapest thing to fix. If they got to tear apart your whole house to get to the pipe, they'll pay for that. They just won't pay for that one piece of pipe. But you are correct. They don't pay for the pipe, they pay for all the damage it caused and the damage you caused to get to the pipe to fix it.
What I need to do is I need to take a quick little break. I would like to thank Scoremaster.com for sponsoring this segment on our show. Did you know the average American has 97 points they can add to their credit score, but no idea how to get them? The data scientists at Scoremaster have cracked the code on how. Adding 97 points to your credit score is like found money. It means fast loan approval, huge discounts, low interest rates, and everything from buying or refinancing a home to leasing a new car or just applying for a credit card. How fast is Scoremaster? One member raised their credit score 33 points in just 5 days, another 43 points in a couple of weeks. Scoremaster is so easy, it takes a minute just to get started. And if you hurry, you can try Scoremaster for free. That's right, try Scoremaster for free. See how many points you can add to your credit score. So go to scoremaster.com/savings. That's scoremaster.com/savings. Again, scoremaster.com/savings. Now, stick with us. We're going to be right back with more from Steve Saveride, public adjuster here with Greenspan Company, Adjusters International.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve show.
Did you know the average American has 97 points they could add to their credit score, but no idea how to get them? The data scientists at Scoremaster cracked the code on how. Adding 97 points to your credit score is like found money. It means fast loan approvals, huge discounts, and low interest rates on everything from buying or refinancing a home to leasing a new car to applying for a credit card. How fast is Scoremaster? One member raised his credit score 33 points in just 5 days, another 43 points in a couple of weeks. Scoremaster is so easy, it takes about a minute to get started. If you hurry, you can get to try Scoremaster for free. That's right, Scoremaster for free, and see how many plus points you can add to your credit score. Go to scoremaster.com/savings. That's scoremaster.com/savings. Again, that's scoremaster.com/savings.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hey, welcome back to the show. Again, in that first few segments, we had a wonderful time with Wayne Dunlop. Now we're talking with Steve Saveride, public adjuster with Greenspan Adjusters International. Hey, before we jump back in, I want to truly thank you for tuning in and letting your friends and family and associates know about the show. All the replays are available at www.savingwithsteve.us. If you're enjoying the stories of helpful information inside on Saving with Steve, then I encourage you to subscribe to our Spotify or Apple channel so you never miss a show. Check out a few of our affiliates at UK Health Radio, BBS Radio, Talk Radio in New York City, E360 TV, Las Vegas TV Networks. All these networks are dedicated to empowering you to solve problems, uplift your spirit, and live a life of financial and personal freedom. Also, you can follow us on Facebook. Join us at the Saving with Steve Sexton Insider Club to get replays, guest gifts, behind the scenes, the whole shot. Now, we're back here talking with Steve Saveride. Now, we're talking about wildflowers. What should people be doing now to get prepared? I mean, looking at their policy to get prepared if they're, you know, they're dealing with a wildfire or even a business owner that could get hit by a natural disaster, vandalism, a tsunami, or whatever the case may be.
Well, it's a good question, Stephen. The first thing I tell you is you don't want to wait until after an event to get your policy or ask your agent for a copy of your policy to look through it, because you can't change anything at that point. It's what's done is done. And what you have to work with is what you bought before the disaster struck. So really important to get that off, have a conversation with your agent or your broker and talk about what today's values are and see if you need to adjust any of those things. Make sure that you know what you're covered for. And if you choose to not cover for certain things, well, make that a decision that you've made rather than one that's by default. And the second thing I would encourage everybody to do is go through your home or through your business and take a videotape, open up the drawers in the kitchen, do a quick video, go in the closets, just do a quick video of everything. And then make sure that you secure that video to the cloud. Don't keep it in your house, because if it burns down, you will lose the evidence of that. But that's really valuable when you need to recreate. If your home burns to the ground and there's nothing but ashes left, and you're now stuck to recreate everything that was in your home down to pencils and paper clips and how many shoes you had and socks and all that stuff, it's a really huge job. It's part of what we do at Greenspan. We have inventory specialists to help prepare that. But I can tell you it makes our job a whole lot easier if somebody's got good documentation. And that can be a simple video, take you 5, 10 minutes through your home. And it's such a good foundation for developing an insurance claim should that ever happen to you.
I used to work for the Automobile Club as an executive. And I talked to many people when there was a fire. And you know what? It's really hard for an insurance company to replace a couch that they've never seen. So if you have that nice leather couch that you spend $10,000 or $20,000 on, it's really hard for an insurance company to replace that. But if you have a video of it, it makes all the difference in the world. So I encourage that. In fact, we've done that. All insurance companies are not created equal. There's new companies coming to the market. There are technology companies. You know what? Should cost be a primary driver of who gets your insurance, who you place your insurance with?
You know, it's a funny thing. A lot of people buy insurance for their home because they have to, because they have a lender and the lender requires them to have insurance. And they look at it more as just something that they have to buy. They don't have a choice. So they want to get the cheapest product they can to make the lender happy. And that's really not the right way to do it. And I can tell you that anybody who's actually had a loss doesn't buy insurance based on that theory, because they have actually used it, put it into practice, recognize how important it is. So there's some new online type tech companies coming into the market where they're not really doing a great analysis, and they're selling you a product that doesn't have nearly as much inside the policy. And as a consumer, you don't really know one policy from another. But I can tell you that more comprehensive policies with higher sublimits and bigger coverages and cover you for more types of losses is really important and valuable, because you don't know what might happen to you. So to buy something online without really knowing, or some big box stores are now getting in the insurance business and selling insurance, it's all about the price. And that's really not the right way to be protected. For a little bit more money, you can get a lot better coverage and a lot more comprehensive coverage and a little safer bet, Steve.
So when we talk about coverage, help me out with an example of that.
Well, we talked about building ordinance or law coverage a little while ago, Steve, and that's an optional coverage that some policies don't have any coverage for. And if you're in an older home, that could be really important. Some policies don't have an extended replacement cost. I mentioned that earlier. So if you buy a policy for $500,000 on your house, oftentimes you'll be able to get what's called extended replacement cost, which will give you some percentage above that number should it cost more. And it might be 25%, it might be 50%, it might be 100%. And so that can be a big difference in coverage if you're looking at one product that has 0% above the policy limit, another product that doubles your policy limit. That could be hugely impactful, especially when we're coming into a labor crisis and a material crisis.
You know, that's really important to understand, especially with the value of homes as they increased since all this buying frenzy. And you know what, it makes a lot of sense to really evaluate with whoever your agent is to make sure you know exactly what you have, because it's what you don't know that actually hurts you, especially when it comes to your insurance. Now, you know what, when you have somebody in the wildfire area, what's the best way to prepare their home if they're dealing with a wildfire area? You know, can you help us with that?
Well, obviously, aside from insurance things like videotaping and making sure you have your policy documents and they're covered properly, aside from that, a lot of people recommend you do a lot of hardening. So that means clearing brush out from your home so that you get rid of any trees that are overhanging near your roof that could catch fire and then catch your home on fire. Just be thinking about the hazards that are surrounding your property and how by not tending to that dried grass out there, the brush out there, could actually put you in a worse position should some event come through the area.
Yeah, it seems like it would make a lot of sense to have oily brush 50 or 60 yards away from the house, as opposed to having a lantern set on fire in front of you, next to your house. I see. Okay. So, you know what? Could you help
some pretty, pretty obvious stuff, Steve, but you know, a lot of people just don't think about it, but it's something to look around your property and pay attention to.
You know what? If you don't, if you've never had a wildfire, you wouldn't even think twice about it. In fact, you probably don't even pay attention to a lot of things. But if it hits you, it hits you right in the face, and it hurts, and you don't want it to hurt. So now, what are things, if somebody's involved in a residential disaster, meaning like they're involved with a wildfire and their house gets burned down or partially burned. Okay. What is the list of some of the things that they should be doing right when that occurs?
Well, obviously taking care of your family is a priority, and having a place to sleep is a priority. So the number one thing is you know, find a place, don't find a place too quickly because some people will run out and they'll rent an apartment or they'll rent a house right away. And then in a month or 2 months, they get claustrophobic and they realize that they've ran out and did something quickly. Take a little bit of time, get some hotel rooms, figure out where you want to be. This is a long process when you're a victim of a wildfire. It's not over in 60 days. It takes months and months and sometimes years to recover. So recognize that when you're out of your home, find a comfortable place to stay, but make it temporary while you get your head on straight and figure out what to do. Notify your insurance company of the claim. Keep all of your receipts for everything you're spending money on, even if it's a cup of coffee at McDonald's in the morning. All these things are important when documenting your claim later, and it's hard to find a receipt that doesn't exist 6 months from now. So, and then on the receipts, make sure you write little notes to yourself. So if they're a nondescript receipt, you can figure out 5 months from now when you're going through receipts, what was that? What did I buy? I don't even know what it was. So keep notes on it and document every conversation you have with your insurance company. And I would also say interview a qualified public adjuster to decide whether you want extra help and attention to put your claim at the top of the stack and make sure that you get the best response.
You know what, Steve, I want to thank you for sharing this information with us today. And I want to add this. You know what, I used to work for an insurance company, property casualty company. And I remember that they really didn't like, you know what, public adjusters. And the reason being is because they paid out a lot more money.
Right, it's true.
Yeah. So it was one of those things where you were far more comprehensive, because I also know when you're captive working for a company, you have certain guidelines that you have to follow and you have certain expenses that you can, you know, certain limits and all that kind of stuff. When you have somebody really understands what's going on and can detail things, obviously you're going above that limit. So, you know what, I think it makes a lot of sense for somebody to take the time to find a public adjuster, a good one that can help them get more for their claims so they can get their house built back up or their business and so on.
I totally agree with you, Steve.
Now, I want to tell everybody this. You know what, Steve Severade and Greenspan Company International Adjusters have, you know what, been graced us with some additional information. So if you go to the resource page on www.savingwithsteve.us, you can get a sample residential inventory list. This will allow you to detail and categorize all price exhibits, images you need to prepare for a personal property claim. If you're in that situation, you're better off doing this in advance. You know what? There's a business owner's guide, a residential recovery checklist. Even if you weren't able to write down everything that Steve said, wildfire factors to consider, frequently asked questions when it comes to suffering a major loss, why your business needs to prepare for a disaster plan now. You know what? Some great information. You're going to want to go to the website. Steve, if somebody needs to get a hold of you or Greenspan to get a public adjuster, how do they go about doing that?
We're easy to find online. Our website is greenspanai.com. You can also reach our office at 1-800-248-3888. And we're available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We respond to disasters. It's part of our business. So it doesn't matter whether it's a Sunday at 8 o'clock, if your home burns down or you need help. We know the exact things that need to happen to take place right as the fire trucks are leaving. And we're always available.
Steve, thanks for joining us. This is Steve Severade, the Greenspan Company, Adjusters International. Hey, I appreciate it. Possibly like to have you back again, especially if we, you know what, disasters happen. There's hurricanes, floods, earthquakes, the whole shot. I would like to, you know, possibly have you back when those things are curved, not to say you're the disaster guy, but I think there's some insight for people who are dealing that with that or not dealing with it and would like to know that would be timely. So again, thank you. Hope to stay safe and healthy and enjoy that boat ride this weekend.
Thank you, Steve. It's a pleasure having you. I look forward to being back on your show as well.
Sounds good. We'll see you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Again, everybody, that was Steve Severide with the Greenspan Company. We're grateful to have him here. And you know what? We had a great show with Wayne Dunlop, Financial Literacy for Kids, and how to deal with an insurance claim from a public adjuster, Steve Sevareg. I hope you have a wonderful week. Look forward to seeing you next week.
Thank you for joining us for the Saving with Steve show, hosted by Steve Sexton. To learn more about the show and how to become a guest or sponsor, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us. Join us again next time as we continue to talk about everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happier relationship with money. This has been the Saving with Steve show, hosted by Steve Sexton.